Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I don't mind. How do you go from working with Al Franken to Roger Daltrey? I'm John Schaefer, and today on Soundcheck, journalist Catherine Lanfer served as co-host of The Al Franken Show at the beginning of Air America. She joins us to talk about her wild experience living 5 days at a rock and roll fantasy camp, which included things like singing backup for Roger Daltrey from The Who. And we'll open the phones to hear who your favorite rock counselor would be. Later in the show, the Ladybug Transistor is part of the Elephant Six Music Collective, along with Neutral Milk Hotel, The Apples in Stereo, and other indie rock favorites of the 90s. The band will play songs in our studio from their new album, Can't Wait Another Day. All of that on Soundcheck, right after the news. Just to give me someone.
I can't seem to. From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says North Africa is the newest part of the world where Al-Qaeda has emerged as a reasonably coherent organization.
Al-Qaeda has become a franchise organization, and we, I think, have pretty good evidence that, for example, Al-Qaeda in Iraq takes strategic guidance and inspiration from Osama bin Laden's organization.
Gates says Al-Qaeda has evolved from a centralized group before 9/11 into a broad organization of groups that have some degree of autonomy. The U.S. could begin drawing down some troops from northern Iraq starting in January, according to an assessment by top U.S. commander, Army Major General Benjamin Mixon. From the Pentagon, NPR's defense correspondent Guy Raz has details.
In a wide-ranging discussion, Mixon warned against pulling out any troops this year. But he says if all goes well, he could anticipate recommending a small-scale troop drawdown starting in January. Mixon commands about 30,000 troops in northern Iraq. He says he could have the number of his troops in his area of operations, but that it could take up to a year and a half. Meanwhile, Mixon seemed to contradict White House claims that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is the primary coalition enemy. He says there are a range of insurgent groups attacking U.S. forces, and those who identify with Al-Qaeda are overwhelmingly Iraqi, not foreign fighters, as the White House has repeatedly insisted. Guy Raz, NPR News, The Pentagon.
Wildfires continue to burn in 12 western states. The largest is in Utah, where the blaze has burned 549 square miles and is 30% contained. Meanwhile, firefighters throughout California are trying to control several wildfires. Steve Julian of member station KPCC in Los Angeles reports.
Mount Whitney is the tallest peak in the continental U.S. Nearby is a 35,000-acre blaze that officials say is creeping through very steep country, too steep for crews to get into. The Inyo Fire, as it's called, has injured 11 firefighters and destroyed half a dozen homes. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on Wednesday declared a state of emergency for Inyo County to free up state resources. That fire's 80% contained. Not far from Santa Barbara's wine country, a 13,000-acre blaze is moving toward a river where it would threaten a small town. About 2,000 firefighters are working in very rugged, broken landscape. And a fire north of San Diego was doused after it got within 50 yards of homes. For NPR News, I'm Steve Julian in Los Angeles.
Wall Street indexes are mixed this hour. The Dow is up 37 points at 13,899. The Nasdaq is down 3. The S&P is up 2. This is NPR News.
And this is WNYC at 2:04. Good afternoon. I'm Brian Zumhagen. Two suspects are due in Brooklyn criminal court this hour for arraignment in the shooting of two city police officers. Dexter Bostic and Robert Ellis will face charges including attempted murder and assault on a police officer. They were arrested in Pennsylvania. A third suspect, Lee Woods, is being held without bail on attempted murder and other charges. The officers were shot when they stopped a stolen SUV in Brooklyn Monday morning. Officer Russell Timoshenko remains on life support while his partner Herman Yan has been released from the hospital. City, state, and transit officials have begun soliciting bids for the right to build over the Hudson rail yards. The city hopes to find a developer or two willing to put a deck over two sections of the 26-acre property and build office towers and apartment buildings. Deputy Mayor Daniel Doctoroff says the development will also bring new open space to the west side.
You'll be able to walk through a park all the way from Times Square to the meatpacking district, and that today in an area that has less public space than any other part of New York City.
The MTA board is expected to vote on the development plan early next year. The transit agency owns the yards from 30th to 33rd Streets, which are currently used by the Long Island Railroad. A Westchester hospital ordered closed by the state has been given at least a temporary reprieve by a judge who says the hospital didn't get enough notice. A state Supreme Court justice ruled this week that the state may not shut down the community hospital at Dobbs Ferry before a July 31st hearing. A state commission charged with overhauling the state's health system recommended last year that 9 hospitals and 7 nursing homes be closed by mid-2008. 5 of those are in New York City. Highs in the mid-80s expected this afternoon, mostly cloudy tonight with lows dropping into the upper 60s. Right now, 79 degrees, partly sunny skies in Central Park at 206.
Support for NPR comes from LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
Just like yesterday, then I get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
Rock and roll fantasies come true at a camp for big kids. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later on the show, indie pop group The Ladybug Transistor performs live in our studio. But first, if there's something you're passionate about, you can bet there's a fantasy camp for it. Baseball, of course, but poker as well, even space camp for amateur astronauts. To indulge your inner guitar god or screaming diva, there's Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Journalist and radio host Catherine Lanfer wrote about her experience at a rock camp, where she ended up singing on stage with Roger Daltrey of The Who. Catherine is a contributing editor at More and hosts a radio show, More Time, heard on XM Satellite Radio, and she's author of the memoir Leap Days, Chronicles of Midlife Move. Catherine, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, you write in your article that Roger Daltrey was not necessarily your dream counselor to, you know, be at a rock camp with. Why did you go to this rock camp?
I'm a good reporter. The More magazine asked me to go to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. And the more I kept complaining and prevaricating and saying, listen, I don't even go to rock concerts. I'm not even sure I like rock and roll. Well, of course, that just sealed my fate. And then once I confessed that I'd never even played air guitar, it was like, oh, you're going to this.
So they thought it would be fun to send the least likely person to ever go to a rock and roll fantasy
camp.
And
I have to tell you, I would be voted least likely to show up at rock and roll fantasy camp.
So is it like American Idol where you have to audition?
You do audition. Unlike American Idol, though, no one is booted out. And I have to tell you, my fondest memory of camp is the first day of auditions. In fact, that even outshone being on stage with Roger Daltrey at the House of Blues, because the first day of auditions, you had this entire room filled with, you know, let's be real, sort of thickened at the waist, Sans Belt slack wearing. That's not fair. There were guys in T-shirts, guys in jeans. But, you know, you basically had everyone from rabbis to doctors to real estate developers to factory workers. Everyone was there, and it was like you had this big room of adults going, screw it. I'm just going to trash my grown-up identity and go for what I've always loved. And the very first person to step up to the auditions was a 47-year-old stockbroker from Oklahoma. And at 10 a.m., he does this rendition of Wild Thing. I mean, people were on the chairs. And I'm looking around like, I haven't had my coffee. And that's when I thought, maybe this is going to be fun after all.
What was your audition song? You going to sing it for us?
I might.
That was a fairly pregnant pause and throat clear
well,
there.
Well,
I thought
no,
maybe we
no,
would
you
do
know
for
why?
A song.
Because no. Because I thought I have to be true to myself. I mean, people were getting up there and doing Purple Haze. There was a lot of Sister Christian because a lot of that particular band. Their members were there. Don't ask me who, because even
was
now
that Poison or
my febrile grip on this particular genre of rock and roll is whatever was there is okay. Gone. But a lot of Wild Thing, Purple Haze, etc. And I thought, dang it, that's not who I am. So I got up and I sang Making Whoopee.
because that Catherine Lanfer is who you are, apparently.
That's true. That's true. Another bride, another groom, another sunny honeymoon. I got to tell you, when they heard that, it was one of the most amazing moments of my life because people went wild because no one was expecting it. The judges, I got standing ovations from professional rock and rollers, and I think it was basically, thank you, dear God.
But it is a rock and roll fantasy camp, so you may have missed a little bit of the point of the auditions there, but by the end of your 5 days, you were singing with Roger Daltrey. So who were some of the celebrity guests at your particular iteration of this camp?
You know, we had quite the lineup. Mickey Hart came in for one afternoon
from the Grateful Dead.
Right. He gave a riveting lecture on the drums, mm-hmm. Just on the history of the drum, and it was great. Neil Sean from Journey came in and sang his signature song and talked about songwriting. Lisa Loeb dropped by one day. Cheap Trick was there a lot. Mm-hmm. They were great. They were very, very gracious to people. Every camp counselor who was there was a bona fide rock and roller. For instance, you know, my coach, my camp counselor, was Kip Winger of the group Winger. And he was a great teacher.
So what does he do? I mean, great teacher how? He's got 5 days to take someone who thinks rock and roll means a 1930 Eddie Cantor song and turn her into someone who can sing with Roger Daltrey.
You know, it was even more than that. He had to take 10 people who had never met before and merge us into a band. And he did it. I was really impressed with Kip's abilities as a teacher. And of course, one of the things you discover, especially if you're sort of a snobby, now New York-based public radio and magazine writer, and you have these ideas about rock and roll, well, you find out, gee, Kip Winger also composes classical music and started out in ballet, you know, before he was playing with stadiums and for Alice Cooper. And we used to joke in our band that he would be a great manager. Someone who could go in and train corporate titans. Because, for instance, he took a ball and bounced it on the floor and said, when the ball hits the floor, that's when all of you have to act as one. And that's how we would start our rehearsal. He kept everyone in line. You know, I also have to say, I was sent there by a magazine, but a lot of the people there, this was their once-in-a-lifetime chance. So, and maybe my group was the anomaly, but people took this very seriously. They showed up on time. They worked hard. There, in my group especially, there wasn't a lot of ego. We all actually, you know, the first day we were all sort of looking at each other warily, but by the end it was Band of Brothers time, let me tell you.
All right, well, maybe we can talk a little bit more about why folks do it, why they do take it so seriously. Kip Winger was Catherine Lanfer's camp counselor at the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Here he is in his former life as a rocker himself. Kip Winger and the rest of the band Winger, big in the 80s. Kip is still out there, still a working musician. But
Winger's still performing.
But he is still taking part, occasionally at least, in these rock and roll fantasy camps. What do you suppose people like, you know, Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead and Robin Zander and the rest of Cheap Trick and Kip Winger, what do you suppose they're getting out of this week?
When I talked to, I've actually, some of the camps have been held in New York. The one I went to is in L.A. So I've actually gone and hung out with some of the other camp counselors when they gather here in New York. I think that for both sides, it's a chance to trade realities. I think, you know, Mickey Hart, I think he's a different case. But for a lot of these sort of journeyman rockers, if you will, they get to sit down very seriously with people who take their work seriously and who want to say to, I mean, who doesn't want to spend time with people who look at you and say, I remember that concert in 82 in Tuscaloosa and can remember everything about it. And it's really interesting to see these barriers break down. So that the thing might start out with rock star and, you know, average Joe, but by the end, everyone's just sort of people and having a great time. There's something, one of the big things I learned was there's this redemptive thing about making music every day. And it was transformative.
Mm. Well, your book, your memoir, is called Leap Days, Chronicles of a Midlife Move. Now, you referred before to a lot of these people, you know, being in their 40s, maybe thickening around the waist a little bit. Are we talking about a lot of guys, first of all, as opposed to girls, and a lot of people going through a midlife crisis?
Or a midlife celebration. It is mostly men. I'd say in their 40s and 50s. And this is the 50th birthday present or the 30th wedding anniversary. Although there are all these wonderful exceptions. We had a young man from England who was at my camp who had worked for a year in a cider bottling factory to save up the money to come to this camp. And he was such a phenomenal drummer that Roger Daltrey like took him aside and gave him pointers and offered to help him with his career.
Wow.
Yeah. So there were these inspiring stories. Or my friend Tina, an investment broker based in London, who... This woman, you know, travels, you know, if it's Tuesday, it must be Sydney, and she's brokering a deal. This woman has a voice that brought the house down at the auditions. She could have done the entire Commitment soundtrack by herself. Mm. And she's just someone who until then had only sung in the shower.
Well, now, these people have paid handsomely for the opportunity to attend this camp. It's about $9,000
yes.
for the 5 days.
Yes.
When I come back to the question of what do the camp counselors get out of it, I assume they get a nice payday. And let's face it, you know, Cheap Trick's salad days were 20 years ago. Maybe camp counseling is a good gig for them.
Oh, actually, for Cheap, I have to tell you that Cheap Trick is actually doing quite well on the concert series.
Okay,
but I know what you mean.
Well, and I'd like to open the phones to our soundcheck listeners as well. If you were to go to one of these rock and roll fantasy camps, let's say somebody gave you a $9,000 birthday present and said, "Off you go." Who would be your dream camp counselor, and what would you want to learn? Would you want Mick Jagger to teach you the kind of strutting rooster move that he uses, or would you prefer your tips from Madonna, or what? Our number is 212-264-7483. You can also leave comments on our website, wnyc.org. Again, the number 212-264-7483. We actually had a comment from Jim in Minneapolis who left this on the soundcheck page. I would choose Black Francis, a.k.a. Frank Black, formerly of the Pixies. In a nutshell, I'd like to learn how to scream musically. Musical screaming has informed genres as diverse as punk, funk, heavy metal, and good old rock and roll. It's cathartic, it's electrifying, and best of all, to quote the Pixies, it's educational. So there's, and I'm reading that just the way he spelled it, all those A's. Catherine Lanfer is my guest in the studio on Soundcheck, and she went to the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp in L.A., and you eventually became the lead singer of your big 10-piece band, right?
Well, I was the girl vocalist, and I sang with the other guys. It was very funny. One of our guitarists, we had a lot of guitarists, Terry from Indiana, looked at me very seriously and said, "Oh, yeah, every band needs a girl." These guys were so great to me because they knew that I was such a novice at this, and they would let me hold the guitars or sit behind the drum kits, and I think I was sort of like the sis or something. It was sweet.
Okay. How much of a novice was Catherine Lanfer? Well, let's give you an audio hint.
Oh.
This is one of the two songs that we have of yours is Paul McCartney and Wings, Live and Let Die. Here's a little bit of the original of the song.
You used to say, this
All right, familiar enough sound. Now let's hear that same song recorded live at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp by Catherine Lanfer and Vulcan Mind Squeeze.
You used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did. But in this ever-changing world in which we're living, makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die.
The band is called Vulcan Mind Squeeze, featuring vocals by Catherine Lanfer, my guest on Soundcheck. So,
you know, we were going for more of a Guns N' Roses feel there, right? There was a Guns N' Roses version of that song. I just want to point
out. So you were going for that kind of anthemic arena sound.
Yeah, hey, that was a good wall of guitar sound there.
So when you're out on stage, this is at the House of Blues at the end of the Fantasy Camp. I mean, are you just thinking, man, I am kicking it old school right now? I mean, it's just the adrenaline pumping. And
you know, I'm one of those subscribers to the school of thought, in for a penny, in for a pound. So, yes, we just went out there and lots of things went wrong, as they are wont to do. But we had a great time. And the truth is, we all agreed that we sounded a lot better in rehearsal. But it's okay.
All right. Well, we're going to speak more with Catherine Lanfer and with some of our Soundcheck listeners. We're talking about rock and roll fantasy camps. If you went to rock camp, what rock star would you want as your camp counselor? Our number's 212-264-7483. Me personally, I'd probably pick this guy, David Bowie. I figure if you're going to learn to sing from someone, learn from someone who's got like five or six different voices himself that he can teach you. We'll be back with Catherine Lanfer and your calls, and then later, live music from the band Ladybug Transistor. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've got the Brooklyn-based indie pop group Ladybug Transistor performing live for us in just a bit. But right now, we continue our conversation with author and radio host Catherine Lanfer about her experience at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, where amateur musicians get to learn from and play with rock veterans. The Kids Are All Right, this song by The Who, Catherine, is one of the songs in the little repertoire that you guys put together during
your
5 days as a band, as Vulcan Mind Squeeze. You got to sing it with Roger Daltrey in the House of Blues, the finale. How'd you do? What kind of feedback did you get from that performance?
I think I accidentally took his microphone.
Yeah, I know you're Roger Daltrey, but I want to sing, damn
no,
it!
No, it wasn't even that bad, but it was just, there was a little bit of chaos. And, you know, for me, you know, getting the note and then holding on to it and not having it roll away like a marble was sort of hard. So I have to say, Roger Daltrey was such a good sport and nice man. And Gamely got in there with, you know, not every band, but a lot of them, and was very kind to us, I thought. And, you know, I have bragging rights for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
To say I sang on stage next to Roger Daltrey. That's hysterical.
And you have the tape to prove it, and so do we.
Yeah.
All right, that
okay,
again
so
is...
maybe bragging rights isn't the exact phrase. But it still was a redemptive experience.
That's still you and Roger Daltrey on the same stage at the same time and possibly even sharing the same microphone by mistake. Did you witness any rock and roll debauchery on the part of the camp counselors while you were there?
No, no, seriously. I mean, one of the great things about being at a fantasy camp that is, let's get real, tailored for often midlife people, is that you get the reality of if you've survived that long in rock and roll. I mean, these were people who they had tales of back in the day,
yeah.
But a lot of them were drinking sparkling water. You know, they were gargling. I'm sure they were doing colonics with herbs when we weren't looking. It's healthy living, vegetarians, vegans. There's a reason, you know, if you survive that long,
you got to be doing something right.
And, you know, and Kip was also really clear with us about you have to stay in shape. You've got to protect your voice. You know, alcohol, tobacco, all these things. You can't stay as a performer for very long and to do something as demanding as what some of this rock and roll is.
Well, you know, the original fantasy camps were baseball, and now it's moved on to rock, and there is still that kind of athletic and stamina question that becomes involved. Let's take some calls. Our number is 212-264-7483. We're talking about Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp and who you might want to have as your camp counselor. And we'll begin in Oklahoma City. Mark joining us on Soundcheck. Hey, Mark.
Hey, John, Catherine, Mark Province. How you doing?
This would be the very first person to audition the day I was at camp.
You're kidding.
And you did Wild Thing. Do I have that right?
It was Born to be Wild.
Oh,
but when
yes.
You were talking about a little bit thicker around the middle, yeah, that was me. But, John, don't let her fool you. She says she was a novice. She knocked him away not only in audition, but whenever she was on stage at the House of Blues in that sexy black dress, guess who was up in the audience applauding for her? Nobody but Prince but himself.
The purple one was there?
The purple one. Now, you couldn't get near him, but he was there watching her.
Wow.
She did great.
So, Catherine,
wonderful.
You do rock.
Actually, what's really funny is this is how otherworldly these fantasy camps can get. When we were done, I went to the bar, and I looked down the bar, and I thought, oh, that guy looks just like Prince. It is Prince!
Well, Mark, as you say, Catherine's performance may have blown them all away there in the club, but I'm afraid we have some listeners who beg to differ. We got a comment from Mary who wrote, after hearing the version of Live and Let Die, I think we need Mary Clayton or Dolette McDonald, the best rock backup singers, to teach those up front to move back. Support somebody who can sing.
You know,
I think that's uncalled for myself. But.
Well, no. You know what? Let me just say that, A, I'm not necessarily sure it was the best recording ever. But
hey, you're already learning. Blame the recording.
I'm sure members of my band will call up and say, but we did sound much better. But you know what? The whole idea of this is that it's a fantasy and you get to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to touch the redemptive value of making music with other people. So I beg to differ. This was, in fact, the one moment when no one had to step to the back.
Well said. Catherine Lanfer is my guest. Let's take another call. John from New Jersey. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Good program. It was excellent. And I give you a lot of credit. You know, you have a lot of guts to do that and let it broadcast all over the air. That was great.
But it's a left-handed compliment, Catherine.
Yeah, no, it is. It's good. That was great. Listen, that's one of my fantasies is either being in a rock band or playing center field for the Yankees. I can't do either one.
So, you can do the first.
But... Of course, I would pick Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band.
Yeah.
And I would pick Frank Sinatra, but he's dead. You know, Frank and Dean, I would have liked to have gone to fantasy camp with the Rat Pack.
I was just going to say the Rat Pack fantasy camp. I wouldn't mind auditioning for that Shirley MacLaine role. That would have been okay.
I would have loved it. Yeah, I would have loved even to be Peter Warford just to hang around there. just to be in the company.
All right. Well, let's see if we can move on. John, thanks for the call. Let's take a call from Alan, who is in Alabama. Alan, welcome to the program. Are you, too, an alumnus of the rock camp?
Well, you blew my cover. I was trying to surprise Catherine.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hello, my lady.
The best
singer in the rock and roll fantasy camp is Catherine Lamper. And I agree that we sounded much better in the studio. I was listening to the broadcast here on my computer, and we didn't sound like that. We sounded much better than what's broadcasting.
As you can tell, Alan is not only a gentleman, but he was one of our two drummers in the camp. And he, in fact, has been to three camps.
Yes, I've been to three rock and roll fantasy camps.
Why? Why do you go back?
I guess I was obsessed with it. The first camp I went to was with Catherine, and we had such a big time and great time. And our band gelled, and we all became friends. And that's been, what, Catherine, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we all still email each other every week and stay in touch and became a real group. No matter how bad we sounded, we had a lot of fun. So taking that experience, I couldn't get enough of it and went to two more camps, another one in New York. Then Catherine came to see our performance at B.B. King, and then another one in L.A. last February.
All right.
But I have to say, none of them were as good as the first one.
You never forget your first time as a rock and roll star, I guess.
Never forget your first
time. All right.
And I have to say one other thing. Catherine, you took Daughtry's mic on purpose.
I think we all kind of were surmising
really
that ourselves.
You know, Alan, is it time for you to go?
Yeah. All right, Alan, thanks for the call. Now, did you set these people up to call us, Catherine?
I did not, but okay. Of course, because you have such a great website with the slideshow, you have to let people know if they're going to be on a slideshow.
All right, well, the comments continue to pour in. Laura from Superior, Colorado writes, "This was my rock and roll fantasy camp. I attended the concert at the House of Blues in L.A. because of Cheap Trick and was quite impressed with all the participants and the show they put on. Part of me wanted to be up there jamming with everyone, and part of me was quite happy to stand in the audience and sing along without anyone noticing how much I sounded like a dying wildebeest." So, that's one of the things you have to overcome is that stage fright, that kind of, you're a professional, you're an adult, you're a grown-up, you have a professional face that you present to
people. That's exactly right.
One
of the things that you had to do, I mean, I obviously am used to speaking in public, but singing in public is very different. So one of the things that I think, this is what was so powerful about the auditions, is we all had to become vulnerable at the same time.
All right, let's see if we can take one more call. George is in Brooklyn joining us on Soundcheck. Hey, George.
Oh, yes, boy, I'm just loving your show. I've been listening to it. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. It's very funny. I used to run a fantasy camp out in Long Island, and it was a rock and roll fantasy camp, and it was wonderful. We had a great time. We would people come out there, and they'd meet the rock stars, and, you know, back then it was a little different. Everyone would... it wasn't completely a camp. It was more like just like a place we'd hang out, and people did a lot of drugs, basically. But I like to think of it as a fantasy camp, you know, I mean, because it was similar. And, you know,
let me tell you, the only drugs at my fantasy camp were Lipitor, all right?
Yeah, we didn't do that one, but what we were doing is we would get there, it was so much fun, you know, we'd hang out, we'd have parties, and, you know, I play a little bit of, I play one like an electric clarinet thing, and so I'd jam along with some of these really cool rock stars like Neil Diamond and people like that, and they'd come over, and it was great, and I think that's what you're doing.
Did you say electric clarinet?
It's like one of those synthesized clarinets.
Oh, clavinet.
No, clarinet.
Clarinet? Okay,
yeah, like,
oh yeah, all right, like a DX7 or like a one of those wind controllers or whatever they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
What we do? We would do things like we'd have games and... you know, we would do things like just, I don't know, you know, it wasn't, actually, there weren't that many people that came, like three or four people ever came, but
it
was great. And, you know, sometimes,
we're going to have to leave it there because we actually do have, George, some live music taking place here in the studio in a moment. But thanks for giving us a little bit of a historical perspective. I'm not going to ask George why his camp didn't survive if they went there and did drugs and played electric clarinets and stuff. Not quite the recipe that the rock and roll fantasy camp is using. Catherine, you said it was a redemptive, transformative experience, and so clearly you got a lot out of it, and you got a great article out of it as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me here.
Catherine Lanfer, her memoir is called Leap Days, Chronicles of a Midlife Move. You can also hear her on her own radio show, More Time. And coming up in a moment, you can spend $9,000 for a chance to become a rock star at a fantasy camp, or you can do it the old school way, getting a group of friends together in the basement and rehearsing night and day, as our next guests did. The band Ladybug Transistor plays live next.